I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad to be with you. I'm so glad you're here. Centers for Spiritual Living 2017 Global Vision is Value-Based Spiritual Living. And the January theme is Spiritual Living. So generous and so agreeable. That's what we're talking about today. As we learn and practice our philosophy. This is from Centers for Spiritual Living worldwide. The science of mind. We live principle-centered, spirit-led lives and turn to our principles for guidance in all moments and in all areas of our lives. So today, so generous and so agreeable, is based on the introductory chapter number 3 in your Science of Mind, which we have come to know as the textbook, because we use it in almost all of our classes. So it's time we understood that the universe withholds nothing from us. As Ernest Holmes says, it is the nature of the universe to give us what we are able to take. It cannot give us more. It has given all. We've just not yet accepted the greater gift. So we need to understand that these gifts are constantly being given. The gifts of love, the gifts of compassion, the gifts of wisdom, and the gifts of every good thing imaginable that we wish to demonstrate or to bring forth in our lives. You see, there is, here I go again, in Greek, there are two amazingly important words. One is nomenon, which means the name of the thing. And the other is phenomenon, which is the showing forth of that thing. Nomenon, name, phenomenon, phino, to show forth, shows up in the world. And so when we realize that it all begins in our consciousness, it all begins in mind with a great vision, it all begins with a new intention, understanding the infinite possibilities that exist for us, then we set our intention. Then we know very clearly that something wonderful that is on the invisible side of life can be brought forth into the visible. And that's what a demonstration is. So we give thanks for the ability to remember that our beliefs become our reality. Jesus didn't say it's done unto you according to you may be wishing. Let's try that again, only all together. It is done unto you according to your belief. And it's the belief that we are looking at. It is the belief that we're willing and ready to change. Because we're aware that, as we're learning again in our Four Agreements class, that we come into this world and we begin making agreements that we're not even aware of. We agree in order to survive. Oh, if they're going to feed us, I have to do what they tell us to do. And our parents love us and want the best for us. But they had agreements, too, that they were not necessarily conscious of. And those agreements have to do with some of the beliefs that we carry around in our subconscious mind. So how wonderful it is to awaken to what some of those beliefs are and to change them quite intentionally. And when we do that, things show up very differently in our world. So as co-creators with divine mind, and I'd like us all to step into that awareness, we are co-creators with divine mind. There is more power available to us than we may have once known, especially in the olden days when we had perhaps... When I say we, I'm going to make it the collective consciousness here, but I was fortunate enough to grow up in this teaching. So I never had a sky god. I never had somebody throwing thunderbolts at me or keeping track in a little black book or anything like that. So I'm very grateful. And I'm also grateful that at any point in our lives, at any point, we're able to change our beliefs when we recognize, I'm no longer in agreement with that one. I can make it different. There are infinite possibilities for the new ideas we can bring into our own consciousness to show up in the world and then to show other people, oh, you can change too. We don't tell them so. We just show up. We just be that truth that we are. We just be and live this philosophy, and people notice, especially those who have known us for a long time, they notice things have changed, and they might want to ask you some questions. So we're wise to enter into our spiritual work with gratitude, with clear intention and purpose, and with a sense of positive knowing, of cheerful expectancy, that our good is ready to unfold for us. And we trust in both the loving presence and the dependable law. Remember, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Ernest Holmes suggested that we court the presence and direct the law. We want to feel and know and experience our oneness with the One. It's from that place of connection, from that place of real power, that we are able to effect all the changes in our lives that we're ready to effect. And that's wonderful news, because this universe is just so generous and so agreeable. There is so much of every idea, every vision, and every good that we can ever imagine already available to us. No, it's not like everything is running around like there's a bunch of little cars and you can have that one. There's many relationships, you'll take that one. They're not already made up for us. The possibility of them is all present, which means we get to set the intention. We get to choose whether it is a relationship or something wonderful like a new home, or greater peace in our hearts, or a wider vision in our consciousness and in the consciousness of our communities and of our world. Everything is available. Everything is ready for us to step in and be that co-creator, trusting the loving presence that gives and gives. It's so generous. And trusting that dependable law of mind that responds to us according to our belief. So as we learn to become more generous receivers, you like that idea of being a generous receiver? It's not always easy for people. Do you have any trouble accepting a compliment? Yeah, I guess I hit a chord there, huh? Like, oh, I love your blouse. You don't have to say, oh, I like yours too. Or this old thing. It's a wonderful thing simply to receive that loving compliment. It was given genuinely. Somebody admired something about you. Let it in. We've been, unfortunately, too many of us trained from when we were little, not to accept that compliment. Or we get a big head. Get a big head, go ahead. And along with that, get a big heart. Because as we become generous receivers of our good, of people's love, then we're able to allow that beautiful circulation of love and life to flow through us. We become the receivers and the givers, and when we have our hands open like this, it's really hard to tell the difference, isn't it? You can't tell if I'm giving or receiving. Oh, I'm not going to tell you. Oh, yes, I am. I'm doing both. Because we need, I believe, to open our hearts and our minds and become more generous receivers, and then we're able to honor the giver and expand our greater expression of life. Ernest Holmes says, the universe is impersonal. It gives alike to all. It is no respecter of persons. It values each alike. Its nature is to impart. Ours is to receive. How does that sit with you to hear that? The universe's nature is to impart. And you can trust a universe that creates flowers. It's always giving something beautiful of itself. It's helpful for us to open our eyes, especially the eye of our heart, and see the beauty in the world and see it in other people. It helps so much just to become aware and to become mindful of what we really can be grateful for, of what's available to us. It's available to us. It's not, oh, well, you know, it's enough for them, but I don't really need any. I remember when I was a kid, I was going door to door with another girl, selling Girl Scout cookies, of course. And a lady invited us to come in. She had just baked a cake. And we went, oh, cake. So we came in very bashfully, and she offered each of us a piece of cake. My friend took the cake. She offered it to me, and I kind of hesitated because that hadn't happened to me before. And she said, well, do you want it or not? And I went, this is a deciding moment. I said, yes, please, and enjoyed it. But I had that hesitation. I didn't know if it was okay for me to have the piece of cake. It was more than okay. In simple things, we sometimes close off our good. There are some false beliefs like, well, I don't deserve that. Some false beliefs that if I have this much, there won't be enough for the others. Or like the little lady who had her children were all schooled ahead of time when company was coming for dinner because the company was unexpected. And so she said to them, now, when we pass the chicken around, say no thank you, because there won't be enough chicken otherwise. So they all did as they were told. And then at the end of dinner, Mama announced, and those that didn't eat chicken get no dessert. Now that's... Joan Crawford, she says. We can get some very strange ideas sometimes about what we can have and what we can't have and what we deserve and what. I'm so sorry I told you that. It was a joke. It wasn't true. It didn't really happen. I hope not, anyway. We get. Can you think about some odd ideas that you may have had over your life about why you couldn't have something or shouldn't have something? Here's the truth about this ridiculous idea about not enough. There is more than enough. Have you ever tried counting the stars in the sky? You have. Have you ever tried counting the grains of sand on the beaches? This is such a generous universe. There's plenty for all. And even the children who are hungry in different parts of the world, there's enough food for them. We all need to change our consciousness to the point that we know that the ways and the means for that food to be delivered to them can take place. It's a change, an internal change of consciousness for that to happen. So, look to see, what are those agreements we may have made or those false beliefs we may have developed about, I shouldn't really have that. Many of you know that my beloved friend, Dr. David Walker, who has since left the planet, gave a talk in Merrill Hall at Asilomar one year, and it was entitled, You Are Enough. And he was in the process of writing his book at that time called You Are Enough. And it seems that there is a universal false belief that we're separate from our source. And that as a result of that, we aren't enough, that we're incomplete. Once we understand that we are one with that powerful, loving presence, once we understand that when we speak our prayer treatment, it is truth on our tongues, and we are co-creating something more wonderful in our lives, and we know we are enough. And even that simple affirmation, look in the mirror sometimes, I am enough. I am enough. I have enough, I am enough. We can be more than we know we can be. You can be all that you can be. When Mike and I were in Palm Desert a couple of weeks ago, the early service, which is one that I used to do there, I find they're still singing some of the songs we did, and that was one of them that Dr. Tom Costa brought to that center many years ago. And it's, you can have all, you can be all that you can be. You can have as far as you can see. That's it. You can be all that you want to be. It's a beautiful song, and it's really true. We can have as far as we can see. We can be all that we want to be. And all it needs is a change in our internal consciousness, a shift of those beliefs. Anything is possible. Everything is available. You know that all of the elements for creating television and so forth were available in the time of Moses. Thank goodness he didn't know how to do that, or the children never would have gotten to the promised land. But all of the elements were already there. They have always been there. You know, all of the laws of science have been there. What we get to do as co-creators with this divine life, what we get to do is learn to understand how the laws work. That's why we can fly in airplanes now, because people figured out the laws of aerodynamics. That's how we can do so many things in our physical world. And then we move into the metaphysical world, which simply means beyond the physical. And in moving there, we understand that there is a law upon which we can depend. It is the law of cause and effect, of sowing and reaping. Think of all the parables of sowing and reaping that Jesus taught. He was teaching us how the law works all that time. What a genius, what a master. Everything is available, anything is possible. And of course, all laws are invisible, but as we apply the principle, things show up in the world. I've told you before, I think, about George Washington Carver. I'll tell you again. He was a poor Georgia peanut farmer. And this man discovered all the uses for the peanut butter. That was one of them, wasn't it? That was maybe the best one. All the uses for this lowly little peanut. And he did so beautifully for our world and for himself. And he was asked one time, how in the world How did you get all of that information? How did you know what this little peanut could be good for? And he said, I just listened to it with love until it revealed its secrets to me. It's time for us to listen more deeply with love. And allow the secrets of the universe to be revealed to us. The main one being, you are a co-creator with God. And this is an abundant universe. And there is enough for everybody. And we can show others how they can have this too, simply by aligning ourselves with this co-creating experience, this beautiful power. And whether we're asking the secrets of peanuts or whether we're setting an intention for something more glorious in our lives or in our spiritual community or in our greater community, in our nation or in the world, the universe says yes. It always says yes. So no matter the world experience or circumstance, we have the power and the privilege to create something better. Yes, yesterday's peaceful march was amazing, absolutely amazing. And to be riding the metro with 450,000 people and getting off, you know, at each station, If you, those of you who were there, do this with me. We'd get off and people would say something and everybody would go, "Yeah!" It was thrilling, wasn't it? And it was like our hearts were all one. And when Reverend Mike comes down with the kids afterwards, I've asked him to bring the banner that he and I carried. It was created by our artist friend David, who does all the beautiful artwork for the kids. You're going to love it. People were stopping us and taking pictures of it everywhere because what we were bringing was kindness. What we were bringing was a sense of unity. What we were bringing was the realization that together we are one with the power and can use it for good. And can use it for good. So, yeah, we were all tired when we got home. It was a good tired. It was a sense of belonging to the whole world. And we can create, we can co-create so much by recognizing that this universe says yes all the time, that the love of God is so generous and the law of God is so agreeable. It says yes to whatever we plant in it. So let's choose what we're planting in that law today, and let's plant it from that deep, clear, juicy realization that we are one with that divine presence, that we are enough, that we deserve all the good, and that all sentient beings deserve great good in this world. So will you say with me, my gratitude is full.
My gratitude is full.
As I focus my mind
on the wonderful good at
hand, and open my heart to Spirit's great gifts, And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit, and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.